KEXP thanks contributing donors and the Real Networks Foundation for supporting Mind Over Matters.
This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Peter Glick, president of the Pacific Institute in Oakland, California. Peter is a recipient of a MacArthur Genius Fellowship for his work on water issues, has been elected to the National Academy of Sciences, and is an academician of the International Water Academy. He is author of many scientific papers and 8 books, including the biennial water report, The World's Water. Peter Glick is here today to tell us about his most recent book, Bottled and Sold, The Story Behind Our Obsession with Bottled Water, published in 2010 by Island Press. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks for having me.
What led you to write your book, Bottled and Sold?
Well, I think the story of bottled water is a remarkable one. One has to wonder how, in a country that works so hard to develop a high-quality, reliable tap water system, the sales of bottled water have skyrocketed in the last several decades. They've just exploded, really. And today, Americans are just drinking a huge volume of bottled water, spending a huge amount of money doing so, and causing all sorts of environmental damage, probably unintentionally, as a result. And so I thought it was worth investigating the history of bottled water, looking at some of the strange stories behind bottled water, and really trying to figure out what's going on here.
How much bottled water do we currently use in the U.S.?
Well, in the United States, the current estimate is that Americans buy 9 billion gallons of bottled water every year. That's approximately 30 gallons per person per year of commercial bottled water. It's a huge increase over only 1 gallon per person about 25 or 30 years ago.
Why do people buy bottled water?
Well, I think there are lots of reasons. I explore 4 different reasons in the book why I think the American public has increased its consumption of bottled water. The first is we're increasingly worried about our tap water. We're not sure what's in it. We're not sure it's clean or safe to drink. So fear of the tap is the first reason. The second is some people don't like the taste of their tap water. Some of our municipal systems don't deliver water that people think tastes good enough to drink. The third is convenience. Our water fountains are disappearing in public spaces, and at the same time, of course, the bottled water companies have made it as convenient as possible to buy bottled water anywhere we are. So convenience is the third reason. And the fourth reason is advertising. I think there's been a remarkable effort on the part of the bottled water companies to market bottled water to us, to convince us to buy their very expensive product rather than the much cheaper equivalent thing that comes out of our tap.
Where does most bottled water come from? What's the source?
Well, it varies. In the United States, about 55% of all of our bottled water, a little over half of our bottled water, comes from what's called springs. It's labeled spring water. If it's labeled spring water in the U.S., it has to actually come from a spring or from a groundwater well drilled into the aquifer, the groundwater basin that feeds that spring. So that's a little more than half. But about 45% of our bottled water basically comes from reprocessed municipal tap water. It actually originates as high-quality tap water to begin with, is then perhaps filtered, perhaps not filtered again by the bottled water companies and put in plastic bottles and sold to us.
How safe is bottled water compared to our tap water?
That's a great question. People worry about the safety of their tap water, and they assume, I think incorrectly, that because we're paying so much more for bottled water, that it must be safer. The truth is a little different, and it's complicated, but there are a whole variety of different kinds of federal and state regulations to protect our tap water, and in theory, to protect our bottled water. But I argue in the book that we don't actually monitor our bottled water as well as we monitor our tap water. We don't look as carefully. We don't look as frequently. We don't look for the same kinds of things always. And the people who are looking aren't that independent. Most of the monitoring of bottled water comes from the bottled water companies themselves. So I think the assumption that bottled water is safer than our tap water is an assumption that we ought to challenge.
When bottled water has been analyzed, what's been found?
Well, indeed, when we do actually look at the quality of bottled water, we often find things that we don't anticipate. And I ended up filing a series of Freedom of Information Act requests to try and get information out of the Food and Drug Administration, which regulates bottled water, which is a little odd by itself. The FDA thinks bottled water is a food product. Our tap water is regulated by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And that's a question right there. Why aren't they the same? But when we do look, it turns out there are things in bottled water. I found over 100 examples of recalls of bottled water contaminated with sanitizer or too much chlorine or glass particles or bacteria or mold, all sorts of things. And in my favorite example, one bottled water recall was issued because bottles were found to be contaminated with crickets. Literally crickets. I don't know whether it was whole crickets or cricket parts, but we do find things in bottled water that ought not to be there.
What are the reporting and labeling requirements for bottled water?
One of the difficulties with understanding what's really in bottled water is that the labels that are on our bottles aren't very good. If you were to pick up a typical plastic bottle of water, it will have the name brand on it and probably very little else. It'll probably have a nice picture of a mountain or a glacier or something to suggest that it was purified or bottled in some remote, pristine area. But the things that typically aren't on a label that ought to be are really detailed information about the mineral content. All water has minerals. It ought to say what's on them. No information about where you can find test results about the quality of water. You won't find information typically, it's not required at least, about where the water comes from or how it was treated before it was put into the bottle. Those are all things I think the consumer deserves to know, but we have no national requirement for those things, and I think that ought to change.
Would you comment also on the possibility of contamination from plastic, the plastic bottles that the water comes in?
Well, the plastics are certainly a problem. It takes a tremendous amount of energy to make the plastic. We should perhaps talk about how we dispose of the plastic as well. But there's also concern sometimes about what might leach out of the plastic into the water itself. I actually don't worry too much about that particular issue. Most of the plastic bottles in which bottled water is sold is made out of PET, polyethylene terephthalate. It's number one plastic with a little triangle on the bottom for those of you who know your plastics. And PET is a great plastic in many ways. It's transparent, it's unbreakable, it's stable, it doesn't impart a taste to the content, it holds carbonation pretty well. It's a good food plastic for those reasons. And scientists tell us at the moment that they don't think PET leaches things into our water, unlike some other kinds of plastics that are terrible, that do leach. But the same benefit that PET provides as a food packaging material makes it a liability. It's incredibly stable and it lasts forever in our landfills. And so that's a problem. You throw away those plastic bottles, and if they're not recycled, and most of them aren't, it ends up in our landfills for thousands and thousands of years where it will never break down.
So our tap water comes from municipal water systems. How would you characterize the state of our municipal or public water systems in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think our tap water system is a wonderful system. It's one of the things that made this country great. When we started building high-quality, reliable tap water systems, water-related diseases disappeared in this country. Productivity went up. Attendance at schools went up. It was really part of the Industrial Revolution that made this country great in the last century. But it's also true, I think, that our tap water system isn't as good as it could be in some places. There are pollutants that we're beginning to discover that aren't regulated adequately, that ought to be regulated. Our ability to monitor lower and lower concentrations of things, smaller and smaller concentrations of things, is improving. So in some places, we're finding things that we didn't know were there before or that weren't there before. But the answer is not bottled water. The answer is to make our tap water system even better. We have the technology at low cost compared to bottled water to take anything we want out of water, to make water taste like anything we want. And if we live in cities that have problems with our tap water system because of old infrastructure or old technology, let's spend the money to upgrade it. Let's spend the money to make America's tap water system what it used to be. That is the best in the world.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Peter Glick, author of the book Bottled and Sold, The Story Behind Our Obsession with Bottled Water. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. You alluded to this a bit earlier, but what are the environmental costs of using bottled water?
Well, of course, everything comes with an environmental cost. And I think it's one of the things we don't think about enough in the United States when we buy things, when we become the consumers that we are. And there are some significant environmental costs to bottled water. Let me mention three. The first is it takes a tremendous amount of energy to make the plastic bottles alone. Plastic, PET, polyethylene terephthalate, comes from petroleum products. It takes energy to make the plastic into the bottle. It takes energy to fill the bottle. It takes energy to treat the water. It takes energy to move the bottle from where we make it to where we consume it. It takes energy to cool it. Bottled water is a very energy-intensive industry. We did a calculation at the Pacific Institute that just to make the plastic bottles that we use for bottled water in the United States takes the equivalent of about 17 million barrels of oil every year. That's a big environmental cost right there. A second one is disposing of the plastic at the end. Most of that plastic ends up in landfills. It could be recycled. PET is, as the industry loves to tell us, 100% recyclable, but it isn't 100% recycled. And they fought pretty hard against comprehensive national recycling laws. And as a result, we throw away most of those bottles. About 70% of them end up in landfills, and that's an environmental problem. And the third one is, because of more than half of the water we bottle comes from natural springs or natural groundwater aquifers, we've run into problems at times with overpumping of groundwater. A big bottling plant goes in, it starts to bottle a lot of water, groundwater levels start to drop, wells dry up, natural springs and wetlands dry up in some places. We don't always pump groundwater for bottled water in a sustainable way. And that's an environmental challenge as well. And I think local communities who either have bottling plants or are thinking about bottling plants ought to think pretty carefully about whether that water use is sustainable.
Would you speak about some of the specific examples where local groundwater has disappeared and caused problems?
Yeah, there are a number of examples. I describe some of them in the book, but we've seen examples in Michigan, in Maine, and California. There's an effort underway in the Pacific Northwest now to build a big Nestle bottling plant that will use very high-quality groundwater. In a couple of those places, especially in Michigan, there's been overpumping and wetlands, local wetlands have dried up. There's another great example also in the book. There's a brand of bottled water that's owned by Nestle's called Poland Spring. Now Nestle owns Poland Spring and Zephyr Hills and Arrowhead on the West Coast and Deer Park, and they own a lot of the big brands of bottled water. They're one of the biggest sellers of bottled water. But in the Northeast, it's Poland Spring. Poland Spring is a natural spring in Maine. In 1904, it won the prize for the best tasting water at the World's Fair. I think it was in St. Louis or somewhere in the Midwest. So it's a very famous spring. But Poland Spring water today, bottled by Nestle's, no longer contains any water from the original Poland Spring because it can't meet the demand. The demand for Poland Spring water has grown so much that Nestle's is having to take water from other springs all around Maine because the original spring was insufficient. And that's a great example not just of the impact of bottling, but also the difficulty we have of really knowing what's in our bottles because of the confusing, uninformative labels.
What efforts has the bottled water industry made to discourage people from drinking tap water and promoting their own product?
Well, of course, in order to get consumers to buy a product that's readily available from our taps, the equivalent of what's in our bottles, they have to use all of the tools of advertising. And of course, the tools of advertising are fear. And so they work hard to make us fear our tap water. And there are great examples of quotes from beverage company executives saying, look, our target is to make tap water only used for cooking and irrigation. We don't want you to drink tap water. There are lots of examples where they've really tried to vilify tap water in a way. But the other tools are, of course, health. They want to make you think that if you drink our brand of bottled water, you'll be healthier or skinnier or sexier or more stylish. There's a great ad that just came out a little while ago for a brand of bottled water that's being promoted by Jennifer Aniston. And she's their spokeswoman and she's posing and she's in a t-shirt with no sleeves and she just looks great. And the implication, of course, is drink our brand of bottled water and you'll look like Jennifer Aniston. And it's just classic tools of advertising and marketing to make us switch from an inexpensive, reliable source in our taps to a very expensive plastic bottle.
Would you like to speak about the growing campaign against bottled water?
Yeah, the good news is that even though the growth of bottled water has been explosive, it's been exponential. It's gone from 1 gallon per person per year 30 years ago to over 30 gallons per person per year today in the United States. There is beginning to be a little bit of a backlash, a revolt, an awareness, if you will, about the implications of bottled water, about the challenges with bottled water, about the economic and environmental and social costs of bottled water. You increasingly find restaurants offering tap water once again instead of high-cost bottled water. Not all restaurants, of course, but more and more we see some pretty high-profile restaurants moving away from offering bottled water. we see municipalities thinking, well, you know what? Why am I spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money to buy bottled water when our local tap water is perfectly good? And so municipalities are trying to save money by moving away from bottled water. The Organization of U.S. Mayors came out with a proposition saying cities should move away from buying bottled water and rely on high-quality tap water. The public is beginning to be more aware of the challenges with bottled water. I see more and more people carrying plastic refillable bottles now, or stainless steel refillable bottles rather than plastic bottles. Let me tell you a quick story. As I was researching this book several years ago, I was sitting outside Google headquarters down in the Bay Area in California, waiting for a meeting, and everybody walking by my car, all the 20-somethings, were carrying two things. They were carrying a laptop and they were carrying a plastic bottle of water. I had my meeting and left. And then about a year ago, I went back to another meeting at Google, and everybody was carrying two things. They were carrying the ubiquitous laptop, but now they were carrying refillable bottles. Almost all of the people had given up bottled water, and Google was no longer offering its employees free bottled water, but they were all carrying refillable bottles. And I think that's maybe a sign of the times. I think we're beginning to see, for the first time, a decrease in the sale of bottled water. In the last couple of years, bottled water sales have not increased. They've actually decreased. And the bottled water industry would like us to think that it's the economy. But I think it's a growing awareness of the challenges with bottled water.
How is the industry responding to the campaign against bottled water? What efforts are they making to counter it?
Well, I think some bottlers are doing what they can to reduce to some degree the environmental impact of what they do. We do see some of the bottlers moving toward thinner and thinner bottles, bottles that use less plastic, as much as 30% less plastic. And that saves energy. It saves them money. It saves a little bit of impact on the environment. We're still throwing away billions and billions of plastic bottles a year. So it's not that much of an improvement in my mind. They're launching a publicity campaign to talk about how wonderful they are for the environment. Some of the bottlers claim to be carbon neutral, although I would challenge their claims and their calculations. And they're launching campaigns, more and more campaigns, to convince us that bottled water is the thing to buy, that, again, you could look like Jennifer Aniston, or it'll make you healthier or skinnier. They're rolling out the advertising guns to try and keep bottled water at the top of your purchase list.
Would you speak about the efforts to have ethical or environmentally friendly bottled water? Does this make sense?
There is an effort on the part of some bottlers, mostly small bottlers, to produce what I call in the book ethical bottled water. That's a green bottled water. There are others who argue, well, this is greenwashing. You know, it's a contradiction in terms. But I do think that some of those efforts are worth thinking about. There are a number of bottlers who have committed either a part of their profits or all of their profits to water projects, for example, in developing countries, to help provide clean water and sanitation projects in developing countries. And there are a number of brands of bottled water that are trying to do that. There's some other bottled water companies, again, mostly small, that are using not PET plastic, but different kinds of materials that are biodegradable, that may offer some kinds of environmental advantages in landfills if they really do have a chance to biodegrade. So there are examples of ethical bottled water, and I write about them in the book. I have mixed feelings about them. I think if each of the major bottlers were to contribute a tiny fraction of their profits to water projects, it could raise a huge amount of money to help solve very, very real water problems in developing countries where they don't have the tap water system that we have in the United States, where water-related diseases are still rampant. So some people think ethical bottled water is a bad idea. I think maybe there ought to be more of it. If we're going to drink bottled water, might as well be at least contributing something.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Peter Glick, author of the book Bottled and Sold, the story behind our obsession with bottled water. In your view, what reforms are needed in our use of water?
Well, I think there are lots of things that we need to do. We do a lot of work at the Pacific Institute on a wide range of water issues, from trying to help meet basic human needs for the billions of people that don't have safe access to drinking water and sanitation, to dealing with the impacts of climate change, which, of course, is partly an energy issue. And as we've talked about, there's a huge energy cost to bottled water. So the first thing I would recommend is that We're not going to get rid of bottled water. I don't argue for a ban on bottled water in my book. I argue that we really need to investigate why we drink bottled water and then tackle those reasons. And if the leading reason is that we increasingly are fearful of our tap water and there are problems with our tap water, then the best thing we can do to fight against bottled water is improve our tap water system. Make sure that this country continues to have a high-quality, inexpensive, reliable 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week potable water coming from our taps. The rest of the world would love to have our tap water system, and yet ours could be better than it is today. So fix our tap water system is the first thing. The second thing is, I think the rules for water quality ought to be improved, both tap water and bottled water. Tap water is regulated by the EPA. Bottled water is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. The rules aren't the same, and I can't come up with a good reason why they aren't. They ought to be the same. Our water, tap water or bottled water, ought to meet the same standard. Those standards perhaps ought to be updated to include contaminants that aren't currently regulated. Enforcement ought to be similar. The testing ought to be independent and overseen. I think we should strengthen the rules for our water system overall. I think we ought to label bottled water far better. It ought to say what's in the bottle, where that water comes from, how it was treated, the actual mineral content, where consumers can go to find out test results, independent test results, and there ought to be a phone number for where or a website where consumers can file complaints. And none of those things are required on all of the bottled water in the United States. So there are lots of good things that we could do to make our water system more sustainable, but we ought to move faster in that direction.
What most stands in the way of having your ideas put into place?
Well, I think public awareness is one of them. It's wonderful that we're beginning to talk about some of these things. I think the more consumers know about whether or not their tap water really is good will help boost confidence. And I'm optimistic that we're moving in that direction. The more we know about the environmental impacts of our consumption in general, and in this case, our bottled water consumption in particular, the more likely we are to work harder to reduce those impacts, both at the personal level and at the local level. Ultimately, water is a local issue. We care about water tremendously, all of us. It means a lot to us to have safe, fresh, potable water. And the more we do to make sure that our local water supplies are good and to reduce the impact of our consumption, all of those things will move us in the right direction.
What do you see as the future of water?
Well, I think we have two possible futures. There's a bad one and there's a good one. In the bad one, we continue to let our tap water system decay. We continue to lose faith in what's coming out of our taps, which means more and more people are going to be forced to rely on bottled water, whether or not it's better. They may think it's better. And in that world, the rich will buy bottled water or they'll buy personal water filters to protect the water at their homes. And the poor will drink poorer and poorer quality water and get sick, which is not a world I think we want to move toward. I think that's a bad future. But I think there's another alternative. I think there's a different vision of the future that's not only possible but preferable. And that's one where we do work hard to make sure that our tap water is high quality, that our ecosystems that provide us with water and services are protected in a sustainable way, and where bottled water once again becomes what it used to be. That is, it's still a commodity. You can still buy it, but it's a luxury good. It's something you buy only because you think it's going to make you fancier or more stylish, and it's really expensive, and people laugh at it when they see you buying it, or it's available for an emergency. And in that future, water is sustainable, and water is clean, and bottled water is still available, but it's not a big deal.
What role do you see bottled water playing in the developing world?
You know, mostly we've been talking about the United States, but it's also true that there are very serious water problems worldwide. There are 1 billion people without access to safe drinking water today around the world, and 2.5 billion without access to adequate sanitation services, something everybody listening to this show pretty much takes for granted. And in those countries, the failure to meet basic human needs for water leads to bad things. It leads to water-related diseases, probably 2 million deaths a year from completely preventable water-related diseases like cholera and typhoid and dysentery, diseases that we got rid of when we built a high-quality tap water system 100 years ago in this country. And in those countries, the failure to provide safe drinking water for everyone has led to a boom in bottled water consumption, but only for those who can afford it. It's very expensive. And in those countries, the rich might move to bottled water, but that's not going to solve the problem for the vast majority of the people who don't have safe drinking water. And they're going to continue to drink poor quality water and get sick, and their children are going to die in unnecessary ways. So the answer in the United States is sort of the answer in other parts of the world as well. That is, we ought to work hard to provide high-quality drinking water for everyone. Water's a human right. Let's make sure we provide it.
What do you hope your book will accomplish?
Well, I think the story of bottled water is a remarkable one. And there are funny stories in the book about disappearing water fountains, about weird advertising. There are sad stories about the implications of not providing safe water. But the argument I make is that we don't have to have nearly the consumption of bottled water that we do today, that it has challenges to our environment, to our local communities, and that the more we know about bottled water, about the story of bottled water, the more likely we are to really want to defend our tap water systems and improve our tap water systems. So I'm hoping that the book tells people what the story about bottled water is and what they might do to work harder to reduce the consequences of a growing demand for bottled water.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I guess two messages. One is there's plenty of bad news around bottled water. There are plenty of bad things associated with bottled water. There are plenty of reasons not to drink bottled water. But there's also good news. And the good news is that there are cheaper, more environmentally appropriate alternatives. We can cut our use of bottled water if we challenge the reasons people buy it, if we provide high-quality tap water, if we provide tap water that tastes good so people don't think they can get a better-tasting product out of a bottle, if we make public water available in our spaces again, in our open spaces, provide high-quality water fountains again, fix the water fountains, clean up the water fountains, provide water fountains in the airport so you don't have to buy bottled water after you've gone through security. I think dealing with the convenience factor will reduce demand for bottled water. And then I think, frankly, the federal regulators ought to rein in false advertising about bottled water. There's all sorts of bad advertising out there that make claims that aren't justified. So tackle the four reasons we drink bottled water, and I think demand will go down. If the demand for bottled water goes down, the environmental costs of bottled water will be reduced, we'll return to the tap, and I think that would be an accomplishment worth fighting for.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Peter.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
You have just been listening to Peter Glick, author of the book Bottled and Sold, The Story Behind Our Obsession with Bottled Water, published in 2010 by Island Press. For more information, check on the web at www.pacinst.org. That's PACINST.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.